Alpha.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. This is Samasia, Dr. Cupertino. And guess what? You have tuned in to the Global Vision for Living Today's show. There's so much going out there in the world. You know, I say it all the time. But as long as you're in it, you need to know how to live in it. And many are asking, my goodness, still looting, still burning, still a lot of crazy things happening. Is there any hope for the black man in America? As a matter of fact, is it even necessary? You know, some are leaving their states, their cities, they're living their communities. They're saying, oh, I'm getting out of California, I'm getting out of Texas. I don't want to be in Minneapolis anymore. I think I'm going to even consider leaving Washington, D.C. It is crazy. But if you look at America, America the beautiful, with her spacious skies and her pristine shores, even the dead want to be buried in America. The antelope, the deer, and the opossum, those are animals. They want to roam its mountains and its streams. Why is there so much hatred for America? Is it envy? Jealousy? Jealousy? You're kidding. Satanic ignorance? Well, hear words of insight and hope for a better day in America. You know why? Because you live and because you're important. Now, when we talk about America, we're not referring to some distant remote land. What we're doing, we're referring to a space and place and time where freedom and everything great on their shores was sought after. But now, it seems like everybody is sad. Somebody's unhappy. What can we do? We have with us Dr. Colonel William Harrison. He's with us every week. You know, I'm just looking at our dashboard, 113 shows. He has taken his time to come on and share words of wisdom. I didn't even know. I didn't. And 15 show times has even been chalked up, but it has. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cupertino and listening audience. I am with you this morning and happy to be here after 113-plus shows. I think I only missed a few. So thanks for the invitation, standing invitation.
Well, you're going to get that and more. But right now we have to address our audience with this question again. Is there any hope for the black man in America? Is it even necessary? And some might say, oh, there she go again. You know, that Dr. Cupertino, she's off the chain. What is she talking about now? This is what I'm talking about now. Out of slavery, the black man built 62, some say a little less, some reports say a little more, much more, but 62 townships out of slavery for a group of people standing on 2 feet. Many, if any, could not even read or write, but they were able to use their hearts, minds, and their hands to build plantations, two-story homes, shack cabins, you name it. Gunshot homes is what some of them used to call them, I guess, you know. That's what I read. What happened? What happened to the black man? Did he build anything for himself? What happened? Fresh out of slavery, Lincoln's emancipation. What happened to the black man? You would assume that if the black man was wise enough to build these townships, he was wise enough to build something for his own. Now, you might question whether or not he owned land or he was granted land. Yes, he was. Some of the slave masters granted some of them land. They didn't care what he was going to do on it. And they figured he wasn't going to know what to do on them. But that's what have happened. Now, here we fast forward 200-plus years. Look at the shape that the black man claimed he is in right now. Some say, oh, no, doctor, uh-oh, you and I are going to fight. It ain't no claim. Yes, it is a claim. If he's not surveying the land of wealth and riches, crying he ain't got nothing. Oh, yeah, Dr. Cupertino is right on the dime. But as we see a continued assault here in America by some of our black people, by hook or crook and by any means, I'm going to get what's owed. I hear now some are roaming the highways and the byways. You know, those are where the dead were, highways and byways. Try not to forget it. Roaming the highways and the byways, putting out white folks. Some say at least two have been put out to home. I don't know if that's true. But they're telling white folk, get out of there. Your house now is mine. Get out. Just with the clothes on your back. You know, a lot of crazy things are actually happening. And some might say, oh, doctor, well, you agree with what they're doing. It doesn't matter what doctor agreed with. What are we doing to our nation? I'm concerned about that. I live in it, too. Colonel Harrison, as you look out over continued strife, what do you think the end result is going to be? And some say it ain't going to be good. What do you think the end result has to be to stop a lot of carnage and a lot of racial misunderstanding, a lot of racist hatred? What do you think is going to be the end result?
The end result, Dr. Cupertino, will be death and destruction, but it doesn't have to be that way. As I think about your presentation, the questions, the statements that you made and questions that you posed and the setup in that regard, the Holy Bible, which is the book I subscribe to for spiritual inspiration, says the people perish for the lack of knowledge. So one must have a purpose, regardless of their race, their nationality, their color, their creed, the sexual origin, a preference. Regardless of that, human beings must have a purpose. And without a purpose, we lose our way. We lose our direction. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created and exists. So as I think back in retrospect of the black family, the black man especially, head of household, coming off the plantation into modern-day society over 400-something years ago, there's been a transition of things that have happened that has disenfranchised or caused disenfranchisement. Some of it on the black man's part, some of it on society's part. But I'm a firm believer that you can't keep a man down unless you're holding him down, and you're holding him down, you're down with him. So we have to make sure that we understand that we have a purpose in life, no matter who we are, no matter what parents we were born from, what race or nationality we may have born into, that we have a purpose. And that purpose is greater than just our mere existence as human beings. And so we have to tap into the ultimate person who's responsible for each and every human being coming forth in life that has a purpose. And I know people saying, I don't believe this. You have a right not to believe, but I have a right to believe. And I believe that if I had a way, if I had enough time, that I could convince you to believe that there is an infinite, holy, and spiritual creature in the universe. Some call him God, some call him Jehovah, some call him Allah. So we have to find the purpose. This is the balance. The balance will show and lead us the way and the direction that we're to go and be meaningful in life. Then we no longer look at each other as regards to the color of our skin or what race or nationality we are. We should be looking at each other with regards to the content of our character, because we are all human beings.
Yes, we're all human beings, but now you just mentioned the content of the character. What has happened to most people's character in America? You can't look outside your window or your door and see that there's many following admonition that you just mentioned, live by the content of your character. What has happened to the character of many in America?
What has happened, I'm glad you asked that, Tina. What has happened to the character is that we live in a society that's leaning into their own understanding. In other words, whatever I decide I want to do, whether right or wrong, whether it offends you or not, there's a way about men that seems right, but their ways lead, and their end leads to destruction. We've put trust in certain people. Unfortunately, some of them have been public officials, elected them into certain positions, and they have gotten caught up in all kinds of ethics violations and so forth and so on. And so we got to take a step back. So when we see people that we have confidence in that are public officials and they're falling by the wayside, or some might be pastors or be ministers of various denominational churches, people that are supposed to be representative of the essence of what society is supposed to be about in terms of right, morally wrong, and showing our youth the way to go, they start mirroring that, and then our society suffers because there's a loss. There becomes a deficit, disappointment. People start lying. They start cheating. They start misrepresenting. You can't trust them. And so we have lost the fabric of trust in this society, in this country, and in this world. When lies are plentiful, then people lose confidence in those who we put trust in.
Oh, that sounds very scary. Well, what do you do when you find out that it might not be a good idea to put your trust in man? What do you do if you've done that and now you have nothing but grief to show for your misplaced trust? What do you do?
You search for people. Number one, you make sure you have character, you have integrity. Make sure when you speak, your word is your bond, and people can trust what you say and what you say you'll do. Then you search out other people of like character, like-mindedness, and rebuild the fabric of your community. Rebuild the fabric of your household, your family first, then your community and your neighborhood. And work on joining organizations that are of substance and people who are doing things that are meaningful and true to what their call and their charge and their mission is. We just got to sort of reinvent the wheel in terms of getting people to trust in each other again, because it's so easy for a person to tell a lie, but once they tell a lie, that lie follows them to the grave, because you got to tell another lie to support the previous lie that you've told, and you end up being a liar and no one can trust you and have no confidence in you. But there are a remnant of people, a few, I believe, that still believe in having integrity and telling the truth and encouraging people and trying to help rebuild the structure in the communities and the families of America based on truth and not lies. I still believe that people still want that and desire that, and without that, we're headed for damnation in this country and throughout the world.
Oh, wow, that sounds scary, but it's so true. You have groups out here now saying that no matter what, we're not going to turn back. We're going to kill as many as we can because someone killed us through our ancestors, and they lied and they cheated and I found out they can't be trusted, and on they go. Are these the kind of people that we can trust that really want to turn around in America? What do you think?
No, we can't put our trust in radical people, no matter who they are or what race, nationality might be. We can't put our trust in radical people because it just serves no purpose. It goes against that which is morally right, that which the basis of the country was built upon, the Judeo-Christian principles. We got to return to the simplest things in life. I grew up in the South, and during those days, men and women didn't have a lot of education, but their word was their bond. If they said they were going to do something, they did it, and people accept them based on their word, not based on who they were, what family they came from, or what race they might have been, but based on their word. We got to go back to people's word being true, people having if the word is true, they have some integrity, have some character. You can trust in them. You can depend on them for the most part. We got to go back to identifying and reuniting with people like that and rebuilding the fiber of trust throughout the country. And if we don't do it, that's why we have the problems at the top. And when I say at the top, some of our elected officials lie the drop of a hat, tell you what you want to hear rather than what is the truth. I'd rather hear the truth than to hear a lie. So we got to start at the base level, the community level, the grassroots level, rebuilding truth in our families, our communities, at our level. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen. It's just like a campaign. We got to build it from the grassroots up.
Wow, that sounds scary. But you have people running around that are saying the only way you can deal with the white man, he's deserving of death. You can't trust the white man, he needs to die. Don't trust the white man, let's not go back to the old way of life in America. Let's fight our way out, Molotov bomb our way out, stone our way out. Don't trust the white man. We're not going to trust the white man, Mexican man, Asian man. We're not going to trust any of them. What do you do when you've got fascists out there making those proclamations?
That's interesting because that's a form of stereotyping. I don't put my trust in any man, woman, or child in particular. I put my trust in God. But we have to have confidence in people. We have to have confidence in people. And if we don't have confidence in one another, it's impossible for us to live in a free society in peace, happiness, and with tranquility. It's virtually impossible. I don't blame any race, any color, any creed. I judge a person based on their character. If you tell me you're going to do something, I hold you to it. And if you can't do it, you tell me that you can't, then I can accept that if you have good intentions. But I'm not blaming the white man. I'm not blaming the red man, the Indian. I'm not blaming the yellow man, the Asians. I'm not blaming the black man. I look in the mirror, and I make sure that I'm a reflection of that which I'm supposed to be in the eyes of the great creator. And then people will come to those who they can see that has substance, and the word is their bond. And there are still a few of us out there, and we can rebuild the framework of this country, rebuild the fiber of this country. We truly can make America great again by redefining character and redefining truth and redefining love.
Some are saying America does not deserve to be made great again. America is a cheater. America is a murderer. America is really hate-filled and ran by fascists and socialists. I don't want to see America great again. What do you say to people that openly admit that?
That's wholeheartedness. If they were born here in the United States of America and they have that kind of mindset, that is wholeheartedness on their part. This is the wealthiest, richest, most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. And if America falls, so goes the rest of the world. I just can't imagine having that kind of mindset in a place where I was born, where people have opportunities, but it depends upon how one positions themselves and how one prepares themselves for opportunities that are available. There's nothing wrong with the country. There's nothing wrong with America, the home of the brave, the land of the free. The problem is with certain people in the country that have the wrong understanding, the wrong concept, the wrong philosophy, and want to do what they want to do to bring down the fiber of the country and bring down the constitution of the country. The country, America, the country is great. It's a certain element of people that have problems that want to destroy that which has a standard. America is a barrier throughout the world. No doubt about it. It still is.
Colonel, are you still there?
Yes, I did.
You're going in and out, and we've got to hear everything that you say because you are right on target. You were going in and out, and I don't want you to go in and out because you have a lot to say. Now, when you talk about our country, there are several that say this ain't really their country, said they were born here by no fault of their own, and if they don't like what's going on, then it's wholesale anarchy. People are saying that my mama laid down here and she had me here, but I hate America. Now, those that have gotten an education in America, ate off the land in America, have at least been able to rent a one-bedroom apartment in America. Should they be more grateful than that?
They should be more grateful than that, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. If there are any who are disgruntled, hate America, don't want to live here any longer, nothing is withholding them or restraining them from leaving this country. Nothing. I guarantee you that they go to some of these extreme countries, they won't voice that kind of foolishness in some of these extremist countries because they will literally take them out. So I mean, we have the right to worship. We have the right to be who we so desire to be. We have a right to prosper. We have a right to have a peace of mind, have a right to purchase homes, have quality jobs, education, all those things. And I could go on and on and on. A fool says it in his heart that there's a problem with America, just like a fool says in his heart, there's no God.
My, oh my God, you have just summed it up. Because, you know, I am hearing this every step of the way. And I know that was the president of some African nation said, any who want to get out of America, just contact us. I don't know which country it was, but he said, contact us and we will see that you get flayed out of there ASAP. But guess how many takers took him up on it? Three, but a one-way ticket. Zero. He was on some a news show saying that he and his nation were sad because he offered the disgruntled an opportunity to get out of America, and they have not taken him up on that. So it just goes to show people might be howling about how bad the conditions are, but they are not ready to get up and get out of here and leave the rest of these so-called law-abiding citizens alone. I wish they would, but of course, he said no takers. Where do you see America headed with the black man continuing to be disgruntled, the white man continuing on their path? Where do you see the future of the black man in America?
The future of the black man can, his plight can be changed, the direction can be changed, and he can be lifted again. I'm reminded that I am my brother's keeper, and I'm prepared to commit to do whatever I can to help any disenfranchised race, whether it be the black race or any other race. In this instance, the spotlight is on the black race, specifically the black man. There are quality people within the black race. What we need is more role models, more men to be the reflection of that which they're supposed to be, so that the children would be able to identify with men of character, men of substance, men who is active in their communities, men who are raising their families properly, taking care of their wives and treating their wives with respect and so forth and so on. We got to go back to the basics and just regroup, restructure, and the old family had it right. The nuclear black family, somewhere in transition, lost what the old black family and the old black man instilled in their children ages ago. We got to return to those moral values, those moral principles, instill them in this new generation. The problem is usually not a problem with the race itself.
usually there are people within the race there are problems with. So the black man can be shored up again. He can be supported again, be encouraged again, be lifted again through the proper support structures and the proper opportunities and the proper proper means for him to be able to become of substance again.
That's true. Now we're talking about now. What do you think the black man went wrong out of slavery? You know, there's reports, historical reports, that when they were freed and told, you can go, get out of here, over half held back. They were too afraid to venture out on their own with this newfound freedom. Why do you think that was so? And then here, centuries later, there's a problem. And I'm not talking about so many centuries. We're talking about the middle of the 1800s toward the end. What happened? Why were we afraid to step out there?
They were mentally conditioned to become dependent upon the environment that they lived in, the plantation they lived on, and the owners of the plantation being the overseer. They were conditioned to believe that, and without that, after so many years, passed down so many years, and down through so many centuries, one become conditioned to their environment. They became conditioned to their environment, their welfare, their lives, their well-being was all depending upon them feeling safe and secure in the environment they were in. They'd rather to stay where they were rather than to leave because they didn't have nothing to go to, because they didn't know anything other than what they had and what was before them and what they were existing in or living in. And so there had to have been a carrot, for lack of a better term, some plantation owners offered land and acres and so forth, places for them to kind of build their own farm and start their own lives. But that wasn't the case, I understand, in history of most. So they were conditioned mentally to become dependent upon the environment that they lived in, and that's what happened. And I think going back then, coming forward to now, that the difference is we're no longer, the black man no longer in physical bondage. I think a lot of them are still in psychological bondage.
Yeah, they're in psychological bondage, but they're saying that come hell or high water, we're not going to stop fighting, we're not going to stop killing, we're not going to stop anything until we get what we want. Does the black man really know what he wants?
He knows, but you can't get it through grief, through strife, through jealousy, through violence. You have to earn it. And then, first and foremost, you got to identify with one another. You got to come and learn to love one another and not tear each other apart. And so the vision is so entrenched that it's been passed on to the present generations. And so now we see it outwardly in a form of violence. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. The beginning was dependency. Now we're looking at it in a form of violence, because certain principles and values haven't been taught to some of the youth today that are outwardly showing their discontent through violence and turning on each other and turning on other people. That can be changed. That can be turned around. But it's going to take some effort and take some time and take some of us rolling up our sleeves.
Well, it's going to take a lot, and I see you're on the forefront of this. You've been listening to Dr. Colonel William Harrison. You will hear more about what he is about and his solutions for the problem with the black man in America, August 27th, 28th, 29th. www.letmypeoplego with two additional zeros.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, you heard it all. And when you haven't heard it from the Global for Living Today show, you're missing out. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And we hope to have your presence next Saturday again. Same time, same place. Have a great weekend.